Double Neck Download has returned. Another one of our sporadic conversations, Hal. Like to get together and do this from time to time. We don't do it nearly enough. And even though we have
to fix in 2021, because I think the world needs us again.
Well, I think it does. I don't know how it's gotten along with us without us this infrequently. And even though we live close together, we are miles apart inside because of this damn pandemic. And that's why we're on the video link. And we still find a way to talk about rock and roll. So that's what we're going to do today. I've actually got a little game I made up. I'm gonna spring on you. I didn't want to give you any advance notice because I wanted spontaneous.
I think that's
wise. I found it's generally a good rule when it comes to you because then you have too much time to calculate.
No fools are so troublesome as those who have some wit about them, and I can be quite troublesome.
If you
give me any lead time.
Well, before I get to that, though, I was going to ask you, since I referenced what we're all living through right now and why we're on this video link and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts right now on February 2nd of this new year, 2021, about live shows coming back? Like, I'll just tell you my reference here. So I was looking at Judas Priest tickets for October. I mean, you're thinking, surely, you know, it's not till October. Why don't I go ahead and buy tickets? And I noticed that, you know, quite a few are available, understandably. I mean, that's a long ways off anyway. But with everything that's going on, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are worried about having their money tied up and then maybe the shows don't end up happening. I don't know. What do you think? You think it's safe enough now to put down money for a show that's not happening until October?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I would say that the farther off it is this year, the higher the chance that it will go off without a hitch. And this is the best time to buy the best tickets for the fall and winter shows of 2021. Into 2022 that you could possibly be in, I think, you know, because today I got an offer to do a live play, as an actor, in May, and they're full steam ahead. They're expecting that it will be safe enough by May, 2 weeks of rehearsal in late April, where everybody's either been vaccinated or tests regularly up into that, to the point where I probably might, depending on, you know, the age range and availability of things, get, you know, my vaccine on stage during the first opening night performance as a special ticket giveaway, like pre-show meet and greet, watch the actor get his shot before he performs his second shot. Of course, I would believe. Long for the first one, but yes, no question. October, November, late summer, especially, concerts are going to be off the hook, and everybody's going to be vying for everybody else's dollar because everybody's going to be going back on the road, and you're going to see these, like, I predict over the next 24 months, these super tickets where some, like, holy shit, that band is opening for that band, and that band is opening for them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where you're getting really a solid three-tier bill, you know, that is going to blow the doors off of a lot of places. And a lot of places, they're going to be, the big venues are going to be sold out immediately to the big bands that can afford to hold them up, to tie them up. The medium-sized places, there's going to be a bum rush for places because they know that bands that normally put 500 people in a club are going to start pulling 1500 to 2000 in some cases, just because, oh my God, I didn't get to see them twice when I normally get to see them. And now we're not going to miss this when they come back through. You know, so yes, I would say, especially October, I would jump in on the Judas Priest tickets. That's my, that's my GameStop stock buyer tip in terms of concert tickets.
Well, it's interesting you say that, about the package shows, because that makes a lot of sense to me in that, you know, you're going to have those top tier bands that, fortunately for them, whenever this is over with, the name is big enough that they just say, hey, we're back, and people are going to buy a bunch of tickets. But you're then you're going to have those bands who maybe before all this would have said, okay, if the choice is opening a tour for someone or headlining a club tour, let's headline the club tour. We can make more money doing that. Those options may not be available to them. They may want to go ahead and get on a package show with a big headliner name and just say, you know what, we're going to make some money, but we're all of the uncertainty of the apparatus and how the reopenings are, that's going to be someone else's problem. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah, we'll let somebody else's tour manager deal with that. And so we may find ourselves in the beneficial situation, like you just said, of getting able to see some of these like superstar package shows we might not have previously seen.
Yeah, and I think like the middle act will be bigger than it was. The opening act will be the what is effectively the middle act, you know, before.
This will be
enormous. And like festivals over the next 2 years, especially, and the planned festival for the year after that are going to be like Woodstock level, I would argue.
Yeah.
Because if you see how people are, even as it's still a problem and as it's still dangerous right now, are still jamming in to see mid-level artists at dance clubs and stuff like that, you can tell that the thirst is there. Mm-hmm. So if it's really an artist that can pull people, and they know it. Like the Kiss Farewell Tour is extended another 2 years.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah. Just on that. Mm-hmm. And aside from Soul Station, which I'm sure we'll touch on a little bit today, you know, Paul's been basically on vocal rest. Did I not say, like, probably in our last episode before we entered into the pandemic, that the only thing that could save Paul Stanley, you know, and get him back where he didn't feel like he needed any backing tracks for choruses or any of that stuff was, quite frankly, a year of vocal rest. But since that wasn't possible, he was just going to hash his voice out until it was gone and be on the road, you know, nonstop, burning it down and going, look, we've only got a couple more years of this before I'm too old to do it. So let's just plow. And the hell with my voice, I'll just soldier and do what I gotta.
You did say that.
And here the fates intervened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to Paul's like vocal, like just sitting there with an acoustic, a couple of things he did before he really brought up Soul Station, they were able to get back together and track. His voice was coming back to a really solid space.
You know where he sounded? So, you know where he sounded great, Hal? I don't know if you saw any of the clips, but that Dubai thing that they did on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And that was that is the thing that made me think about that and what you said, because he sounded the best that I've heard him in years. And you're going and you know, and he points out the fact that they didn't play together for a year. Yeah, you're right. I think that one gets extended. You know, also, and I was thinking about this.
And
you know, for bands like this too, like think about the situation that Kiss and Def Leppard and Poison and Joan Jett, for that matter, because she's on the bill, have been in on that stadium tour, because they put those tickets on sale right before all this happened. They did tremendous business on those ticket sales. And, you know, some of those guys, I'm sure, maybe would feel the financial effects of that a little less than others. But Poison, for example, who has been a successful, tightly touring unit, but playing, you know, the Hard Rock Casino here in Vegas, in theaters, you know, that sort of thing, or being support on. So, I mean, to land a gig like that, you know, to just, and I, you know, talked, I'm acquainted with Ricky Rocket and talked to him about that right after the pandemic happened and everything got put on hold. But he will say straight up, he's like, I did not think that was going to sell the way that it did. Like, I thought some people would buy tickets, of course, but this was beyond everybody's wildest dreams. So you have that. It's almost, I mean, at that point, I'm just thinking financially, That must be like, I know Grandpa's going to leave me a fortune, but he seems to not be showing any signs of passing away. You know, like it's just this trust fund that's sitting there. I lost you. And I'm so bad at reading lips, too. Hal's giving us the 1 second. Give me 1 second. Well, if you're watching the stream, you're seeing him give the 1 second. If you're listening to the audio, this will either be cut out if it ends up being longer. Oh,
check.
Yep.
There we go.
He's back.
There we go. Sibilance.
As you were saying.
This is Mike number one. Isn't this a lot of fun? Here you go. Here you've got all these bands where they don't recognize that there's this thirst to see them live as much as there is.
We're crackly. Now we're crackly.
I think it's waking up again.
Yeah, for a second it was no audio. Try again.
And now it's crackly again.
Fix that. Wait.
Is that better?
No, you're clean.
There we go.
Yeah, now all you're right. Good.
Thanks. There are a lot of internet bogeys today, and I'm going to blame StreamYard just because that's within my purview to do.
Let's do that.
So it's got to be really frustrating for these bands that like didn't realize they had this opportunity to make as much money as they did. Maybe they bought the hype of the music industry that they're over the hill and that nobody wants to see them, or that they just feel like, you know, they look at the modern music scene and they're like, the world has forgotten about us. A lot of bands go through that. Even the greatest bands. The greatest bands all have a period of 6 years where they're like, this is misery. Mm-hmm. This is nobody is interested. U2 had that period, like everybody. Like, and so a bunch of these bands, suddenly they go, all right, well, let's just get on one of these big tours where maybe there's a group of people who are interested. That's a cat, by the way, in the background. That's Murphy. He may open the door to my office and break in because
I have the same thing.
Smarter than the average cat.
I have a cat in the background chiming in.
Yeah.
So. Eventually,
podcast going on.
I was
going
to say, yeah, they're doing their own podcast, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So, we're going to have to. This is where people find out that our cats break into our office and mess with things, and they have their own podcast that's doing way better than ours.
And that's why your mic isn't working, because your settings have been messed with. Yeah.
Yeah, it's set to cat. Literally, it's just the meeting of the Peter Criss fan club. That's why it's and then they wreck everything as they walk out because they know how I feel about the solo records. But anyways, so you've got these guys and they've found themselves in this situation where, oh my God, we're going to make a payday. We've been scrounging. Yeah. Now we have this big tour, and then the pandemic hits and it's like, I had already had that money spent. I already, you know, that on rent, on mortgage, mm-hmm. on kids and food and all the life stuff that happens to everyone, and you know, rockers and normies alike. So to have that taken away and be right there, just out of reach, has got to be rough on some of these guys who were like, this is our second shot at it. You know, there's a lot of movies to be made in this. There's a lot of the movie Rockstar part two mm-hmm. in this. But I do think that once it happens, you know, Download Festival in England and all these, you know, like you're going to start hearing about, oh yeah, they're going straight from this festival to play Rio and then go to this giant festival in Australia to play this giant festival in Germany. Like there's going to be a lot of these like 8 to 10 tier bills.
Yeah.
And guys are going to go like, we're just bouncing from giant venue to giant venue for 3 days and then throwing in these mid gigs that are all large with three other people from the giant gig and, you know, all over Europe and shit. Like the coordination is going to be a nightmare.
How do you think they're going to handle the meet and greets? Because for a lot of bands that became a huge profit center in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's of a business as t-shirts now.
Oh, it's bigger. Because mm-hmm. people would rather have an experience than the physical item. That's the big millennial thing. Mm-hmm. You know, millennials and, you know, once AIDS turned into how much prep do you have in your pocket, there was an element of like hanging out became way more important than the t-shirt. It really did change things. You know, it went, you know, and meet and greets became more pop, you know, possible, you know. Now with this kind of, you know, once you put the current unpleasantness in the background, that's again the thing. The high contact experience is going to be worth even more and be more crowded. So the price is going to go up, I think, for a lot of these. I don't think that's going anywhere. As a matter of fact, there's a section of, you know, fans that have now got money they didn't spend on a few smaller tickets that they would much rather spend trying to hug the edge, you know, so or grope. You know, we call it on the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. I started calling it the meet and grope because, like, the long hugs that, you know, I would get on these things that were a little, you know, at times even uncomfortable, but definitely, you know, a reaction by the audience.
To the point that if you hug me any longer, I'm going to have to charge you again.
Yes, right. This is entering into OnlyFans territory. I feel a little bit like one of the people at Comic-Con who got cornered on their way to the John by a super fan, you know, and then a line forms.
Yeah. Right?
While you have to pee. So don't ask me how I know that.
I told Ricky that, because I was talking to him about that. And I said, well, you know, I wonder how that's going to be handled. And I pitched him the idea that what they should do is it's like a certain price to meet members of the band, but it's an upsell if that member of the band has been vaccinated. So you're like, I'm going to take the vaccinated one and pay the, right, you know, the $100 upcharge on that for my own well-being.
Because I can't, yeah. They show a vaccine card for everything. Like,
well, and that's cool. That's part of your meet and greet package. You get an autographed vaccine card from that band member. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I mean, my argument has been that the 1920s were insane. Because of the Spanish flu.
The Roaring Twenties.
Yeah.
That's what they were called. Flappers. The flappers are coming back.
That's right. Which was all cocaine and anal sex. That was when your grandparents tried that for the first time. And maybe. I'm kidding. They probably tried it before, but they really committed. Anyway, so the point is that, you know, there was a reason why they were like, I'm so happy to be alive and I can touch and be in contact with people in a way that wasn't safe 2 years ago. It's like a rubber band effect. Like, there's so much tension as it's pulled back. And there's going to be a lot of that. And there's going to be a lot of people where they're going to be up in your grill at these meet and greets because they haven't been around people in a long time. They've lost their social graces. They don't know how to behave. Yeah. Just like, please rub me, you know. And I think for a lot of rock stars, there's going to be kind of this renewed contact need that goes with both their end of it and the audience. So I think live shows are going to be a huge deal and live performance is going to be a huge deal. And you're going to see a lot of like 3 to 4 year burnout too, where people like in 3 years from now, people are going to be like, we got to stop making an album at least because I just need the time off. Yeah, and I'm excited about it. I mean, Dee Snider just put out just did vocals on a new record. He was going to be on my radio show, but he was literally in the middle of tracking vocals. And so he's going to be on my radio show to talk about like the shut up and sing aspect of politics and the fact that guy, I mean, he was in front of Congress back when it was, you know.
Yeah, the PMRC before being era. In front of, yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. Him and Frank Zappa and John Denver. You know what I mean? A super group that should have been. and the amazing thing is that Dee's the one that's alive. You know what I mean?
True.
Think about, you know, John Denver's kind of hippie life and Frank Zappa the same way. I mean, basically, as far as I know, a vegetarian and kind of, you know, one of these, you know, 70s. Health conscious dudes, and Dee, who you would think is an insane person, you know, married to the same woman forever, and just a, you know, probably in the best shape of his life physically over the last 10 years, especially ever since Strangeland. Yeah. And so, anyways, he's just tracked a record that he's going to tour on as soon as he's able. And Dee Snider will be doing bigger venues by himself than he would have previously. There's just no question about it. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, even his social media following has grown in the, you know, because of the politics of what he said. And I'm sure there's a bunch of fans that headed for the hills because of the shut up and sing thing. But I would venture to say that a good portion of those folks are bots anyways, and it's garbage. So nothing to be concerned about. But like he's, yeah, he's one of those people where you might say by himself, solo, would he normally have been the opening act in a three-tiered group setting for one of these groups? And now, in a lot of ways, he might be the, you know, the second in this. He might, because he's grown in, you know, in his popularity over time.
Yeah.
So well, I'm fascinated by how they do it. Yeah.
So that's a very good game. That's a very good segue to the little game I devised. Your all reference right, cool. to the shut up and sing mantra.
Yes.
Which is what we're referencing, of course, are in this case musicians who express political opinions. It really translates to, you hear it from athletes and actors and all that sort of thing.
Right.
But it's also one of those, as much as I hate the phrase, slippery slope arguments, because eventually
sure.
you just walk everybody who's not, well, I mean, who is entitled. The political science major, I don't know. Eventually you'll have a problem with them too. But it's just like, okay, does this apply to the firemen? Does this apply to anybody who does a job that's not based in civic representation? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But the game is this,
right.
Hal. I okay. have compiled a list of well-known and some not so well-known hard rock personalities and their stated political affiliation. And I'm going to
sure,
throw
okay.
these at you and see how many of these you can get correct. Some of them
all
are
right. okay,
some,
cool.
some of them are obvious. Ted Nugent is the free space on this
yes,
bingo
right.
card.
Sure.
Okay. So we don't really
right.
even need
Understood.
To discuss him.
No.
But some of them,
although I would argue, and I have made this case before, that Ted Nugent is not a supporter of the Second Amendment, as much as he might say so, at all. He isn't. That's his claim to fame mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. that he's for free speech, and he's a free speech absolutist, and he's a Second Amendment absolutist. If you leave out the well-regulated militia part, you're not a Second Amendment absolutist.
Yeah.
You can't go, I'm all about the New Testament. I would like them to strike the word Jesus from every verse that has his name. Like, either for it or you're not. And so if you leave that part out, I call bullshit. So I think he's,
well,
I don't know that that's a political thing, more like a hobby.
Yeah. And before we dive into this, just kind of a brief positioning statement. Anybody who knows us knows we're of a like political mind. But what is your, what's your general approach to how you deal with or reconcile or even care about these artists' political opinions? I'm going to give you mine first, just real quick.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It's always neat when you find out that somebody you really like has some similar opinions to yours, because I feel like,
yep.
especially musically, you kind of feel validated that you were hearing what you thought you were hearing in those songs. That,
sure.
That's
yeah,
always
absolutely.
Kind of the main thing for me. And I have been fortunate, Paul Stanley comes to mind, but I've been fortunate in
yes.
when I've met these people, very few of them who I ever really regarded as influences and heroes and everything. I have had
yeah.
a lot of luck with meeting my heroes. I have not been disappointed where that's concerned.
Me too.
Okay. So there's that. Then for me, there's the other side of the spectrum where I say to myself, well, it's one thing for us to disagree, but where are you really at on all this? Like Ted Nugent saying that the Parkland kids don't have souls because
right.
they're speaking out. That's ridiculous. Like he's off in ridiculous land to me. So that's
yeah.
enough for me
it's like It's like Roseanne Barr, and like at some point, I've just written it off as mental illness. It's not even.
Yeah.
It's you're talking to someone who's just missing a stitch, and so you have to factor that in. That there's a there's an element of the dichotomy between what Ted presents to the world and the music he used to write is very odd. You know what I mean? It's a huge bifurcation to consider yourself a conservative with sort of conservative American values or whatever, and still play Wang Dang Sweet Poon Tang live, you know, is a bit ridiculous.
Well, and now, I also think that when you're going that far with it, like the Parkland example that I brought up, this isn't, yes, well, I support this candidate because I think he's got a better, yes, economic plan, and I'll be performing, right, at his rally. That's one thing. But when you're talking,
if it's about tax policy, I don't give a rat's ass.
Right.
When honest to God.
Right. But I was going to say, when you're talking about something like Nugent's position, I think at some point that absurdity is also wrapped up into his branding. That it's kind of like the political version of Alice Cooper doing the guillotine on stage. Like, you expect, yeah, to see the guillotine when you go see Alice Cooper, you know? And right, so with some of these guys, extreme examples like Nugent, you're like, okay, well, you're also kind of doing a bit here. Like, you may have some roots of this kind of philosophy in your mind, but you also realized at some point, hey, I cannot just say it and vote it. I can run around the stage in an American flag loincloth. Like, I'm going to start,
right,
marketing myself specifically to this. So I'm just positioning this to say that somebody like that, I'm just putting off to one side. Like, that's,
yep,
that one a bit. But what I wanted to ask you was, let's say it's not, and you just hinted to it, that like the tax policy thing. If it's just someone, yeah, who says, well, you know, I have conservative values, and you know, this Mitt Romney fella, or you know, this Adam, right, Kinzinger guy, I just, you know, sure, they, that's an area of the country I'm from, and I understand, you know, sure, it, what do you, does that bother you to put their old record on?
Well, it depends on, you know, which values. Like I said, if it's tax policy, quite frankly, it boils down to, look, I used to be a poor, broke-ass musician, and I got rich, and now I have money, and I don't know how long it's going to last. Mm-hmm. So paying high taxes on something that I, like an athlete, I clearly have a freshness date on, is different than if I open a business and that business can run after I'm dead, you know, and, you know, if I can, you know, hire someone to tour in my stead and still own the brand of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some artists, especially artists that have athletic like skills, like handwork on a guitar or their throat as a singer, where they know that they have a physical limitation on their ability to deliver this job forever. The idea that they might be for low taxes during a good 10-year stint of their life and be a firebrand about it, I kind of get it. Rappers, not so much. I mean, they're always chasing what's fresh, but they can do that shit forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's
Well, and I also think, too, that you have to factor in, my general position is never shut up and sing. It's, okay, tell me what you think, but I'll then decide how much weight I want to give your opinion after I've heard it based on how much thought I think you've put into this. Not even whether or not I agree or disagree with you,
yes,
but how well you, right, can argue your case. And that's the
absolutely.
And that's anybody, Hal. That's yeah, anybody. Anybody can vote. I mean, basically, if you're the right age and you're not a felon and all that. But, you know, there are some people who have better cases that make better cases for their vote than others. So that's just, okay, well, I just kind of wanted to get that,
yes,
that positioning,
yeah,
statement.
So here's my thing. If it's my only problem is that if it seems in direct contradiction to the lyric work and the music that they put out over time, and it's just to where I'm like, oh, this was always crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, It's kind of like the musician with five divorces who wants me to listen to his new ballad that says, I will love you forever.
Yeah.
There's a little bit where I'm like,
I'll love you forever because I've only got 14 years left to live. That's the subtitle in the parentheses.
Totally, yeah. I don't expect to make it to the end till death do us part. I expect to be the one doing the parting, considering on whatever the hell I'm using at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't think so. I don't, that ranks up with that part of it. But if it's, like I said, if it's tax policy sometimes, because I know these people react to tax policy differently than a rich hedge fund guy would, because the rich hedge fund guy can be, a bloated mess in his tracksuit smoking a cigar doing the exact same job until he keels over.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about this list is that this pandemic has really given way, I think, to a lot of these opinions being expressed. One, not only because at a time like this, everybody has an opinion, I think, about the government one way or another, and masks and all the rest of that, but because there haven't been live concerts to play, this is what you have to talk about. So I think even though, maybe in the past, political opinions would have been covered, especially if it got retweeted a bunch or something like this, that music news sites, this has been like something to focus on because it's kind of the only thing you can talk about, that or if somebody's daring to release an album in a pandemic. So it's gotten a lot of coverage. Okay, so let's get to it. I've mentioned Ted Nugent. Okay.
Sure. He's the free space on the bingo card.
Yeah. No reason to discuss. No. Jolynn Turner, former vocalist of Rainbow and Deep Purple. Jolynn Turner. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I think because you've added him to the list, I would say he leans Nugee.
Okay. You're right. He's pro-conservative, but beyond pro-conservative, he's just oddly authoritarian. Yes, he has relocated to Belarus. He is married to a Russian lawyer.
Okay.
And he
okay,
has,
so they got him along. They got him a long time ago. He was hit as a mark for, social movement, moving a certain age range of Americans in that direction. So they sent him a Russian woman to try and coax him, she's 15 years younger than him at least.
That's a good question. I have to look that up, but that would probably make some sense.
I'll venture that that's the case a lot of times. I know, there's a lot of those, also happens to have a Russian wife who's just whispering in their ear all the time.
Like Stephen Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, George Papadopoulos. That's who I meant. Right.
Yes. Well. Yeah.
Or is it both?
Stephen Miller's is. It was an actually in the administration. The. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So here's his quote. This is actually back from 2015, and he's since kind of reiterated some of these beliefs. I have no love anymore for the United States, really. As he sat doing an interview wearing a Putin pin and said, I wear this because I believe it. I've listened to every leader in the world, and Putin is the only one who's telling the truth.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that's, and again, to the kids listening, stay in school and don't do drugs. Like there's a certain point where you're like, oh, I see. You just literally burned your synapses out.
Next up, are you ready or keep going?
Okay.
Yeah. Next up.
Yeah.
Testament guitarist, Alex Skolnick.
Oh, he's a pretty open-minded dude. He's a pretty, like, I don't know whether he's a, I would say an Obama voter in some ways or something like that, but a pretty open-minded guy, it seems.
Very progressive. He has actually, he is very outspoken politically. He has posted pictures of himself from the selfie line with Elizabeth Warren. I think
he retweeted me at one point, so that should tell you something.
Yeah, he's radical, borderline radical.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, he's actually someone I talked for a second about, you know, okay, tell me what your opinion is, and then I'll evaluate how much weight I give it based on how much thought you've put into it.
Yeah, he clearly puts time into it.
He's a very well-spoken guy, and he's a good follow on Twitter. So, yep, you would be right. He is.
And I would also say the band Testament floats into the kind of Queensryche zone of things, where they were always concerned with political authoritarianism and nuclear war and, you know, the end of mankind because of dictatorships and, you know, and violent outreach by foreign governments as well as our own, you know, where there is a split road where they can hit the fork and decide to go, you know, hyper right wing because they believe the threat from inside is worse than the threat from without, you know, at some point. There's a lot of that going on. But he's a pretty even keel, smart dude.
Yep. Very true. All right. Yeah. How about Stryper frontman Michael Sweet?
I would argue that he's surprisingly open-minded, considering that he's a Christian lead singer of a rock band. Is he a Trump voter? And we're just, you know, that's how we found out. They've been a little wishy-washy over the years about their hardline Christianity in terms of, you know, I haven't ever seen them at a, you know, at a bomb and abortion clinic meeting. You know, they haven't played a live bombing of an abortion clinic or anything.
No. This is actually your first big bomb. He's a huge Trump fan. Yeah.
So, is he?
Yeah. Michael Sweet of Stryper. But as you said, Christian rock band, not that, you know, listen.
To the White House with the devil, I guess, is really the.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. Okay. let's go to Sebastian Bach, original frontman of Skid Row.
Oh, well, this one I know because Baz and I not only sang on celebrity duets together, but we follow each other on Twitter. I've been very closely watching him, and he's been, you know, we tweet back and forth and stuff. It's interesting because he gets a lot of crap for being kind of left wing or something. When I don't think that's the case, he's just against Trump's obvious authoritarian and kind of, you know, violent anti-woman side, and being a father and a married man and writing songs like I Remember You, you know, and those kind of things, and kind of meaning it. Again, one of these guys who's been with his wife for quite a while, I don't think he's necessarily like, you know, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's in everything he does. He just saw it going so far to the right and screwing up the pandemic wrecked it for everybody. And his disregard for this is meaning that, like, touring musicians like himself, who've been seen a resurgence in the last few years, really got screwed by this, by the mishandling of it and stuff. And I think that was part of his reaction as well. Mm-hmm. He wants a function in government so he can get on with his daily life, it seems.
Yeah. But yeah. You've got the inside track on this one, but you're absolutely right. Sebastian Bach. All right.
Now, if you judge from the T-shirt he was wearing at the Moscow Music Peace Festival a long time ago, if you'll recall, one wouldn't necessarily believe that he was the most open-minded dude in the world, and yet he kind of came around and matured in that.
I don't remember the shirt.
It was a shirt that said "AIDS kills."
Oh, yes. Dead. Yes, I do. I remember the controversy. I didn't remember that's where he wore it. Yep, I remember.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's pretty direct. That's pretty. You know, that's the kind of thing that gets you permanently canceled these days, and should teach us a little something about permanent canceling of people. Because had that happened, he's been one of the best voices in rock. That's not, you know, not overtly leftist or something. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like, you know. Like fighting for some level of normalcy, so his abnormal lifestyle has some place to go, which I think is reasonable.
Yeah, that T-shirt moment. That's like the photo of you with your arm around Jeffrey Epstein. You know, it's like, oh, God,
yeah,
that thing's coming up again. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, speaking of celebrity duets, now this Hal referenced the show that he did. The concept was it was celebrities who could sing, like yourself, Leah Thompson was on that ride. Alfonso Ribeiro won a very controversial victory. I have to say, I understand I'm partial. I'm partial. But my household was not happy about the Hal Sparks runner-up trophy.
And by the way, I was the apparently, first of all, one of the proudest moments of my life beyond just who I got to sing with, which was amazing. I mean, I sang with Smokey Robinson, I sang with Gladys Knight, I sang with Dee Snyder, or, you know, with Sebastian Bach, and I sang with we kind of group sang with a bunch of people, but I also got to sing with Dennis DeYoung from Styx. And in doing that, and Dee Snyder, and in doing that, one of the proudest moments from that was that I was Little Richard's choice to win. I was his favorite on the show, which is an amazing thing to carry around in your life. That you were Little Richard's favorite anything.
That's
some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
it's crazy.
Yeah, he was one of the judges.
He was a judge
on the show.
But in also just, you know, the amazing, Alfonso never sang anything but R&B. So talk about, you know, being locked in, never challenged. The rest of us had to sing, you know, country, rock, you know, R&B. We had to move all over the place. They just, you know, set him up as the ringer, wound it up and let it go.
Well, I say, speaking of celebrity duets, because the next contestant on the Which Way Do You Lean political game is one of your fellow competitors. Now, he's primarily known as a world-renowned professional wrestler, but he also fronts a hard rock band called Fozzy. I'm talking about Chris Jericho. Jericho.
Which was originally the band was originally called Fozzy Osbourne.
Yes. Yes. And
which is because it was kind of a funny cover band thing he did on the side. And that's teach you a lesson about what you name your funny cover band.
Here's what you need to do. Just before you name your band, period, just before you name it anything, check with Sharon Osbourne. Just find out where she's at on it, and then thumbs up or thumbs down.
If she already owns it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If the Muppets have made a phone call with her and they planned an entire series based on it. Right.
So what do you know about, or what do, if you don't know, what are your instincts on the political leanings of Chris Jericho? You got to know Chris a little bit, probably on the show.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty good dude, but I would say he leans conservative just because of the circle he runs in.
Okay. And what circle is that? What do you mean, what circle? Like pro wrestling type fans?
Wrestling and the roid cul-de-sac of hard rock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you would be correct, but I'm going to say you understated your position. Perhaps you will agree when I tell you that he gave to Donald Trump's reelection campaign the princely sum of $40,000.
Wow. to the rest of his band, you could make a whole record for that.
Yeah. Now, he's not particularly he's not particularly public about it. I mean, this is, you know, these are the kind of things you can find through campaign finance filings and things like that. But, and he, by the way, is locked in a bitter, bitter war of words with Sebastian Bach. Because Bach is claiming that Jericho sings to a track and Jericho saying he doesn't. And, of course, the whole political situation is entered into it as well. So there you go. The only the only person on this list, by the way, that I have verifiable numbers on in terms of where they put their money, where their political mouth is.
Sure.
Now, listen, maybe in some bands, you know, not every band member is going to take the same position on these things. So let me bring in kind of a dark horse here, and I'll ask you, do you think that Chris Jericho's $40,000 is going the same direction as the political opinions of his Fozzy guitarist, Billy Gray, who is the guitarist in Fozzy, Probably the least known name that we've brought up on the game here so far. Do you think he is simpatico with Chris Jericho, or do you feel like he's a polar opposite and he's the Alan Combs to Chris Jericho's right. Sean Hannity?
I would argue, I mean, I don't know the man, so this would be just a shot in the dark. But I would presume that he is, by the way you're bringing it up, that he is somehow in conflict with that.
Okay. Well, let's go to his Facebook page where he recently posted, quote, "I don't care what you think about this, and I'm going to say it. God bless Trump. Best president in my, listen how, best president in my lifetime."
Is he four? Is he a child prodigy?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look up how old he is, but I'm guessing he's probably roughly our age, yeah.
You know, there used to be a thing where you were on the road and you got to you spend a good portion of your day in the hotel room like watching Law and Order episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, there's a decent amount of time like spent getting bounced into QAnon chat rooms online. And that sounds like that to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of that.
Could very well be. All right. How about Iced Earth guitarist John Schaefer?
Yeah, I'm going to go with right wing.
Yeah, he's actually in custody right now because
he charged the Capitol. Yeah, or something.
He was at the insurrection with a can of bear spray in his hand. So, I have to be honest. I have heard of Iced Earth. I'm a little familiar, but I would not have been able to name past and present members of the band. But his name has been coming up in the news because he was a fugitive for a little bit. But I will say this, I have seen that several of his band members have distanced from whatever was happening.
Yeah, because again, even the point where you're like, this is the greatest president of my lifetime. Fine. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a level up of charging that our nation's capital with the intent to bear spray anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless we find email messages that he received where someone said, "Do you realize that there are bears attacking members of Congress as they try to carry out their sacred and solemn duty to preserve the Republic?" But, you know, and only you know this. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to take this can of bear spray. Right.
Let's end on just a couple of names that you will know because they're right in our wheelhouse.
Sure.
How about, you mentioned Dee Snider earlier. We're talking about bandmates and how they may differ or be alike. What about Twisted Sister guitarist J.J. French?
I'm going to go fairly right wing in that regard. He's always been kind of like at odds.
Mm.
But am I wrong about
this
that?
This is your second swing and a miss.
Look at that.
JJ.
I'm glad. I'm very happy to be wrong about this.
JJ French has called Donald Trump, quote, a white supremacist president and said his White House tenure was a long national nightmare.
All right. Well, yeah. There we go.
There you go.
Look at that guy.
And how about former Dokken bassist, maybe current Dokken? Well, he is former, but if you're asking Don Dokken, but he still plays a lot with George Lynch and sometimes Wallen McBrown. I'm talking about Jeff Pilson. Well, hell, I should say these days, I think he plays with Foreigner more than anybody else. Where does Jeff Pilson sit politically?
No idea. That one, I mean,
yep.
I think I might have even played with him at the jam night once before, but I don't know that we ever spoke per se.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Pilsen is, we're going to score him left-leaning, Hal. He specifically, he specifically commented on the Trump Twitter ban when he said, quote, Donald Trump's speech clearly can incite insurrection. So he was definitely taking a position on that one. So there you go.
Right.
All right. Well, this is you know what? If you like doing this, if
you like, know who you left out, and I was surprised. I was actually waiting for this one. I was hoping I would get a free spot on the board. In this was Blackie Lawless.
I know. Okay, let me guess. Let me guess. Now, Blackie Lawless is a born again Christian, I believe.
Well, allegedly. Well, again, I'm these are fast and loose with these labels. People can he calls himself one. Let's just go there.
Okay. Right. So I'm going to guess right winger.
You're basically again shooting way low because he's straight up QAnon.
Okay.
In this circumstance, like there's he's been for a long time. I mean, like even written, you know, opening lyrics like, you know, I love my country, but I'm afraid of my government. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Like we're all experiencing a tyrannical government, and apparently that really kicked in at gay wedding cakes. It wasn't, you know, like you know, he believed Jade Helm was here to give us gay wedding cakes, that kind of thing. And I love Wasp. Understand this. This is one of those areas where he's as nutty as squirrel shit, and this is, it breaks my heart that this is where he went with this, but like, and I don't mind that he won't play the sexual stuff that he wrote a long time ago, you know, the borderline rape anthems that he,
I started to say there's a fair amount of sexual content in Wasp. That is significantly paring down the set list. This is like when Prince did the Jehovah's Witness version of the set list, except Prince was very prolific. Like, at least he had more to choose from.
To cover, right. Yeah. Well, and the problem is, because you run, if you're not letting yourself play the sexual stuff, as if that's not a natural aspect of human life and your feelings about it can shift over time and you could write some new stuff, I don't know, about your sex life and your feelings about sex that I guess still rock. But his, it just got increasingly more violent and paranoid. That's what happens, though. Mm-hmm. You know, and he spends a lot. You can tell he spends a lot of time in chat rooms. You know, like the last album was written in, you know, parlor DMs and, you know, like, you know, basically cut and paste.
Well, let me.
So it's, you know, and I love. Yeah. No, like I said, I love that stuff. And it breaks my heart that that shit, you know.
Well, let me make a suggestion. If you enjoyed the game, and I hope you did.
There's
actually a lot of these that we left on the cutting room floor. Why don't we try this next time we convene? Let's reverse the roles.
Yeah.
You make the list. I will do no research and try to stump me.
Right. Okay. And then, I'll add a level of straight or gay to it or something.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Married or cheating. I think that's also another, like, you know, worthwhile little singery kind of things, like, oh yeah, recently divorced due to the fact that they're touring again. Isn't that interesting? And there's a lot of that going around. And like I said, even more of it, because as people hit the road again, you know, it's like Kevin Dubrow and cocaine, you know, once Quiet Riot got that extra hit of like popularity again, it was like Shazam. People recognized what a great vocalist he was. They start hitting the road again. You're partying with the young dogs and your older system can't handle it. Bang, there you go. And it's super sad.
Okay, yeah. So does the renaissance, the coming out of the pandemic, does that ruin marriages, or can you really cheat from 6 feet away? I mean, it sounds like there might be a technicality there that someone could say, no, honey, it was, I mean, trust me when I say we were barely in the same room. She was on one side, I was on the other.
I don't know. It depends on if your wife has a nagging cough she can't seem to shake.
Yeah, it's the 21st century of the constant itch.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody gets scabies from 6 feet away, baby. That kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely a huge part of, you know, the possibility, and you'll see an increasing amount of of that. I have no doubt. Relationships that, you know, ebb and flow due to the fact that people have been locked in and locked up for a while, mm-hmm. can't deal. I would be surprised if there wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff on Blabbermouth and Loudwire, you know, in the coming year. So, yeah.
Well, I thought I would end on this, happy note here. So speaking of harmonious relationships, it was my girlfriend Jennifer's birthday a couple of days ago, and
nice.
Yep. So of course, as you do, you get the cake and the presents and all that kind of thing, and so to tie this into what we talk about here on the Double Neck Download, the hard rock, so. We have a bit of an age gap in our relationship. She did not, she was alive in the 80s, but not aware for most of it. Cause sure. she was developing cognitive skills, but, she is kind of an old soul, especially when it comes to music. She loves her some Judas Priest and a lot of she has her favorite member of Kiss was one of the original four. Like she's been exposed to enough of it that she's got some strong opinions and now some roots in it. So one of the byproducts of this relationship is and different artists I've turned her on to and everything. And I think we've talked a little bit about this on the show is a couple of years ago, she and I went to see John 5. So John 5 is Rob Zombie's guitar player. Formerly, he was Marilyn Manson's guitar player. He's
currently no one is Marilyn Manson's guitar player.
Exactly. Yeah. he's also one of these, I guess you'd kind of say, like sought after session guys, co-writing guys that, he's played on, he's played on Rob Halford's solo project back before he rejoined Judas Priest, things like that. And so he was playing a club show here in Vegas at a place called Vamped. And I really wanted to go to the show. I liked him and thought he was a great player. But and she went, and I didn't think she was going to have a bad time. But this is one of those things that does kind of test you because it's all instrumental. It's like going to see Steve Vai, basically, you know. So, unless that's something you're just already into walking in the door, I don't know. You at some point, I was kind of halfway expecting her to go, where's the singer? You know, does he just warm up and then the singer comes out? Whatever. Anyway, so John 5 is just an all-instrumental power trio. And so we went to see him. And she was so blown away by this. She's never picked up a guitar. She has no musical inclination toward any of that. But she was just like, this show is fantastic. And arguably turned into more of a fan of this guy than I was. So we have since seen him, I'd say, four more times. Like, we went, saw him at Vamped a couple times.
The Whiskey, I remember?
Yeah, we went to the Whiskey and saw him. That's where he brought up Michael Anthony and Corey Taylor and Fred Curry, and they all played some Van Halen songs. We saw him open for Queensryche in Anaheim. They did kind of a double bill type tour together about 2 years ago. So anyway, we've done the meet and greet with him, which is, by the way, that one and UFO are the only meet and greets I have ever purchased. And because it is kind of a new thing, but and I did the John 5 one for her. I think that was like another birthday present or something like that. But Very cool guy, just in my limited interaction with him. You know, I'm partly because we talk about this on the show and all that sort of thing, and partly because, you know, I've over the years been exposed to the insider aspect of the backstage life, is I'm very interested to see how artists handle these, because they're not all going to be created equal. And, you know, if you're – now, he's doing it at a club level where, like, you know, you can get this meet and greet for – I don't remember if it was $100 or $150, something like that. And you're looking at that and going, man, this makes a big difference to these artists. You know, this isn't the $2,000 one that Kiss is doing that, yeah, it's great to do that, but that they would be fine without it. Like, you're looking at it going, man, this is like a great way to support this band, and it's affordable. And consequently, it's nice to see when they really put forth some effort with those. Because it is, I mean, you deal with the meet and greets. It is a double-edged sword in the sense of, you're going to meet a lot
it's
of cool.
Taxing.
Yes, and you're going to meet a lot of cool people. And it's going to be awesome. But there's also that line of, like, as the putting the fans' perspective, when you're doing it, you're like, okay, let's just have one or two back and forths. Hey, here's a question. I noticed that on your album cover. Oh yeah, that's got an interesting story. And they give you the story, and then, you know, like a couple of minutes, and then we're good. You know, we don't want to stay too long at the party here, kind of thing. And so I thought, you know, my interaction with him, he did a great job of handling that. Anyway, fast forward to her birthday this year. And I had the idea. John 5 is on Cameo. And I know you are on Cameo. You still on Cameo?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I do, but I'm more sparse with it these days. I did a thing called Looped, which allows you to interact with people, and you schedule it for one day, and then you do them all in a row. And I found that a lot more satisfying and a lot more personal and a little less pressure.
Oh, okay.
In doing stuff, you know, for people, it's fascinating. Like after a while, yeah.
Okay, but you're still on there. If somebody wants to, wants to get
yes,
one.
Yes, I am. Cameo, okay. Yes.
All right. Yep. So Hal's on Cameo. All right. So so I thought, well, John 5's on Cameo, and I had only purchased two Cameos before this, and they were like these sort of like work related. The guy that I drew in the Secret Santa is a big fan of the Carolina Panthers football team, and we have a $25 spending limit. So I looked up Carolina Panthers. I found the guy.
That's
I don't know who he is, but he plays on the team, and his Cameo was $25. Yes. And my coworker was very excited when he got it. So, like, that sort of thing, you know, that's not a much of a commitment. But John Fives is like 200 and some change. It's like, I think, 215, something like that. Which, my limited look on Cameo, that's not like, I mean, there are some people who are way north of that, but that's also not like a low level. So it's kind of that level of like, all right, well, this is, you know, this is not chump change.
And for a 3-minute personal video or so, whatever the longest they are, that's pricey.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of committed. Exactly. And you've got to hope that the person doing it is gonna, I mean, you can't have unrealistic expectations, but you're really hoping that for that minute or two, it's really gonna feel cool, right?
Personal.
So I'm gonna play it for you, and I want to get. I figured as a fellow Cameo-er, I guess you're a Cameo-er,
right?
You would have you could help assess the quality of what I got here. So hold on, I'm gonna pull this up.
Okay.
All right. Cool. You should be able to see it here in just a second. All right. Can you see that okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So there he is. Now, by the way, I'll tell you about the
Kiss bags in the background and the immediate, like, my eye immediately went to Dynasty, Gene's album, the Psycho Circus graphic, which I have one of.
Yeah.
Two Kiss handbags. Like, this is a full Kiss room.
Well, it is. It is. So let me tell you about this setup he's got. In his house, he has an entire room that is nothing but Kiss merchandise. Essentially the same thing Gene Simmons has in his home, right? Looks like the Kiss Superstore. But John has that in his home. And he actually, if you don't already follow this account on Instagram, you should. He has he has an Instagram account called Knights in Satan Service. And every day he posts a new image of Kiss memorabilia he has. And this guy has such a collection. Wow. I think he's been running this account for like 2 days. I mean, it's 2 days, 2 years. And he's never missed a day posting a different item. And he'll tell you the whole story behind it. Like, yeah, this set of pajamas was only available in Australia. And you can tell because the tag, blah, 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 you know. So he knows his stuff. So on Cameo, I assume different artists have different settings, but his, for whatever reason, once you purchased it, I could communicate with him via video messages about what I wanted. So I would film myself talking to him. I think it lets you film like 20 seconds. So in addition to what you're typing in, because I think it gave you like 250 characters to say, here's the person's name, it's their birthday, whatever the occasion is, that sort of thing. I could actually do this little video chat, and I mentioned in the video that we really liked seeing the all the things he would post from his Kiss room. So right away, points from me because he specifically set up in his Kiss room to do this as the backdrop. So I like that attention to detail. So I tell him in the little message, hey, it's her birthday, and that... here, you know, we've seen you. I mentioned the shows, you know, where we'd seen him the last few years, basically, right? Okay. So that kind of gives you the backstory of what I told him. So let's see what you think of what he delivered here.
Cool.
Hi, Jennifer. It's John Five.
I can't hear it.
And I understand it's your birthday on January. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Wait, you could hear now? Or you didn't hear?
I didn't hear it, but try it again.
Okay.
Hi, Jennifer.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
It's John Five here.
Why are you not hearing it?
I don't know, because the share screen thing has a rule on it about what you can actually hear from it.
No, you should be.
Maybe?
You should be. I play clips like this on the other podcast. Okay. You should be.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why I'm not here. Okay,
Are you getting the audio feed from StreamYard, or are you getting it?
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I'm hearing you just fine, and that's the only place I hear it from.
Damn it.
So let's see.
I've got his volume turned all the way up.
Okay, we'll try it again.
Okay.
Yep, nope.
The other thing we could do is I could... You can't share your screen, can you? Because I could send it to you. I don't know
if you... Sure, I can share my screen.
All right. Why don't we try
that? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Send it to my email address, the rock one.
Okay.
If you have that. Yeah.
Yep. So, okay. Hang on one second.
I'll be able to pull it up on my end. Yeah. No, it's exciting.
This is producing on the air here, folks. If you've ever wondered about, you know, I've thought about doing this podcast thing, but what kind of problems could I encounter? Here's one. And I'm going to now pick up my phone. And I'm going to email the John 5 Cameo to Hal. I just did it. He'll be receiving it momentarily via the miracle of the internet, we assume. I'm going to box out I'm going to box out of this for right now and then wait for Hal to receive the video. He will then try to play it from his end.
On my end. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yes, there it is. Excellent. Okay. So it is currently downloading.
Okay.
I'm open this in here. Hold on. Let's see. 1 second. If I can, let's see. If I can take this, save it, open it. Yes, save it as image. And then what I will do is I'm going to open it and then share the only the app itself with you, and that should solve it. So give me 1 second. Look, I mean, the speed at which I'm doing this, I don't know how much more impressed you people need to be with what I'm absolutely capable of doing. So here it is. There it is. So fire it up. And
okay. So I will then...
I'm sharing my screen.
Yep. I'm going to add him. Okay.
Okay. Excellent. And you hear that, right?
Here's the thing. I don't hear it. So here's what we're going to do. You play it.
All right.
So you can hear it.
You know what it does.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
so
then
you just said, I understand it's your birthday. And then I'll meet you on the other side.
And then you play it so you can hear it. And then I will play it on my end so everyone else can hear it.
That's so weird.
All right. You go.
I'm playing. So he plays happy birthday.
Yeah. Just don't give me your reaction yet because I want everybody else to hear it, but you'll be tipped off ahead of time. We're just going to fill a little bit of time here while Hal reviews.
That's right. Mentions, yep. Yeah.
All right. So, now let me play it on my end, and then I'll get your reaction.
You play it for everybody.
Yep. Yes. Because the listeners didn't get to hear that just
yet. Didn't hear me hearing it.
That's right.
Yeah. Super weird.
All right. So let me pull up the application. There we go. All right. And here we go. Double Neck Download viewers and listeners.
Hi, Jennifer. It's John 5 here, and I understand it's your birthday on January 30th, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I got a little song for you.
Yeah, I think I can hear it a little through your headphones into your microphone. But the shred at the end is pretty lovely.
I hope you have a great birthday. And I hope to see you on tour again. Let's see, I've seen you at Vamped and at the Whiskey. And at Anaheim, it's always great to see you guys. And your boyfriend Richard loves you very much. And I hope you have a great birthday. And
I'll nice see you job.
Soon. Okay, take care. Bye bye.
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
So yes, I think you know, I often will sing "Happy Birthday" and do a personalized version of "Happy Birthday" myself. So I will say, you know, all the details that the person has given me. It's one of my favorite things to do because it's kind of, you know, it makes it personal and silly and fun. Because I sing "Happy Birthday" and then I'll go, "Happy birthday to Richard, who loves Kiss and is the greatest cat in the world, and also comes in and has three guitars and they're the best in the world. And he always does, and he often will be seen hanging out in Anaheim going to live rock shows because they're his favorite. And the whole happy birthday, you know." So all the details they want mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
Their nickname, their cat's name, their all that kind of stuff. I will throw those all into the happy birthday because I think it's a really fun way of, you know, doing all those little funny details. So, yeah, it's my version of vocal shredding.
Oh, right. The, yeah.
You know, during happy birthday.
Yes. Right.
So I think it's very cool. I mean, I, you know, from a, you know, room raider kind of thing, I wish he was backed up a little further so we could, instead of seeing ceiling, we could see more of his stuff.
Full headroom issue.
That would be my, that's, I mean, my mom does the same thing and they have the same color hair. So maybe that.
Well, go ahead.
I was just saying, but overall I think it's great. Yeah.
I was quite pleased with this. I thought that, I like the fact, because I assume when you're doing these, I mean, he's doing it from his phone, and I don't know what the personality side of the platform looks like on the app, but I assume there's some little thing where you're giving permission to use your camera. But do you also, Hal, are you able to see the specs of name, what you want mentioned? Are you able to see that while you're recording?
While you're doing it, yes.
Okay.
So while you're doing it on the screen, it's like a low end teleprompter.
Okay.
That it gives you, and it can only show so much. So if people overdo it, you're like, you can't see the screen. So they only give you this much space of it, and it doesn't move. It'd be nice if it did, or something. If you could roll it like a, you know, if you were able to move your thing, you know, that would be kind of great.
Here's what I really liked about that is that he. Well, first of all, it's cool that he's, you know, using the guitar and he puts the shred on the end and all that. But I like the fact that when he's working in the details, like, you know, the shows we've been to, rather than looking at the phone and going, okay, let's see. I've seen you at Vamps and I've seen you at the Whiskey, which that'd be fine because that's obviously where he's getting the information. He had the wherewithal to obviously look at it and see, and then sort of look up and go, well, let's see. I know there's been the Whiskey and Vamps, and it's just a nice little person. It's at least letting somebody know that from the time I read it on the screen to the time I looked up on the ceiling, I retained it. You know what I mean? Like,
it makes it way more personal. Yeah. Because you can actually look straight at the screen if you're any good at teleprompter and react to it and go, you know, happy birthday, Richard. I know your cat's doing really well. Yeah. I hope your aunt who's been sick for a while. So I know that's a thing that's been bugging you. But I wish at some point we could, you know, if you're capable of doing that, it just from a just baseline ability, then it gives you the opportunity to do that. It is good that way. My only issue I've had over the last few months is that somewhere along the update or somewhere along my phone, it doesn't give me the little notification that I used to get that lets me know someone's ordered one. Mm-hmm. So I've let a bunch expire because I would look at the app and there's no little icon and I never got a notification. So I'm like, oh, I guess nobody wants a cameo this month. Mm. And then they would, you know, and so I would miss them on there. And I have so many other things going on all the time, social media wise and all that kind of stuff, that it just eats your, you know, to farm that every day to see if it's there becomes an intolerable waste of time.
I have not given this a 5-star review yet because I was waiting until after she got it because I wasn't real clear on if Cameo would publish that ahead of, like, not that she'd be on Cameo randomly looking up birthday greetings, but still, you just didn't want it public until, because for the surprise. But I do plan on giving this a 5-star review, and I was so pleased with it. And I actually had an idea, another little thing we could do for what we call benchmarks in radio for the Double Neck Download.
Yes.
We should look up some other Hard Rock personality cameos and play the demos. I think it would be fun to review those, for better or for worse.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I think we play them.
Yeah.
I think we compare the output to maybe the price point and find the real values on there, and then we probably are going to find a few where we're like, okay, dude, we can put a little more effort into it than that for that amount of money, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay. No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, there's been a few people who really swing for the fences and you know, charge, quite frankly, through the roof for a lot of these things, which, you know, and they end up being kind of worth it because it's like a production. They basically do like a sketch for you. Yeah. So I always thought, you know, like musically, that's the way to do it, that the instrumentalist should have an instrument in their, you know, hand. I always thought like Richard Marx could just kill filming him at his piano for $150 bucks, you know, like, I will be right here waiting for Gary. You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just, you know what I'm saying? There's just options for that.
Yeah.
So, let's do that. I'll go scan those. It'll give me reason to, you know, go through mine and make sure there aren't any waiting in the wings that I'm going to miss or any of that stuff. So, okay. I'm for it.
All right. We'll do that. All right. You want to wrap this one? You got anything else we should do?
Let's do it.
Been a solid episode, Hal.
I think so. I think we need to double up the Double Neck Download over the next few weeks to just start building on stuff, especially as live news starts coming out.
Yeah,
and literally get to the point where we have, I have a couple of guests I know I can get these days that could come on the Double Neck Download, give us a little boost.
Yep, let's do that.
So arranging for those, let's do that. Let's get Ricky on at some point as well. And I'll talk to you know, to Sebastian Bach and Dee and all those folks and have them come on as well, because they've, you know, they've been wanting to come on my live stream and that kind of stuff. So this would be another area where we can kind of talk about these things specifically and kind of build on that would be awesome.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm for it, man.
You can find Hal Sparks basically at Hal Sparks just about everywhere, because he gave me a great piece of advice not long after I met him, and it was right about the dawn of social media. He said, if you hear of one of these new platforms, get your name. He said, you may never even use it, but just get your name so somebody else does. And I have passed on that advice so often, because the way that I always relate it to people, Hal, is like, you know, when you introduce somebody, you introduce yourself, hopefully they're going to remember your name. But that's the easiest thing to remember. It gets much more difficult if I say, hey, yeah, I'm Richard Hunter. Yeah, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm, you know, rocking in the free world 818 or whatever. And you're like, what? Okay, I can't remember. Who was he?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, just get your own name. Don't overcomplicate it. And if you can. If
you can always create a second account with some wackadoodle thing if you want at some point.
Yep.
But your first and foremost thing is to own your name online in anything that comes up. Some stuff has happened so fast I haven't been able to get it, like, you know, the kids today.
Mm-hmm,
if you know, anybody's even remotely talking about some rando thing, do your best, even if you're never going to use it. You know, even if you're like, oh, this is, even if you're only grabbing it so other people don't post with your name.
Yeah, that's
on
right.
On a crap site.
That's right.
Yeah. So there you go.
That's our word of advice to you guys today.
Bands, new bands. If you are going to make a band name, you know, as part of what you're doing, search out a version of it that you're happy with for your handles and make them consistent across all media.
Yes.
In that regard,
right after you call Sharon Osbourne and get her to approve your band name, then sign up for your social.
Yeah.
That's a callback. Hopefully, you listen to the whole episode.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, you have to roll back. What was he talking about? Oh yeah,
that's why you got to listen to the whole show.
No question.
All right.
Yeah. So awesome. We'll see you guys next time on the Double Neck Download. I'm Hal Sparks.
I'm Richard Hunter. We'll see you next time.